shoot, yeah, yeah. Who's not here when last attack? Too stubborn and defiant, yeah. Crime and violence now. Gangsters, paradise, that's where they from. Innocent life, them prey on. While conversating with them, dopey crime is them relation. The members pass the wall, I burge a 404 pen pan. How when them jump a jail, them transforming water commission. Now they're leaking information to the soup in this nation. Debating and plea bargain, just forget a lighter sentence. And I heard your secret repentance. You better have to eye in your head back anytime you touch rod. True crime and violence. Them youth are moving mindless, y'all. Come on, go on like it tougher than steel, but the real gangsters move in silence, yeah. With a humble ferment, cool yet can be a burning furnace, y'all. Yeah, yeah. Let love be the other one, the day to mitigate against crime and violence now. Oh, yeah. Hey, well, if the youth them are the future, tell me how them youths are last. Them lack communication skills as you quit them gun blast. And life is more precious than your clocks and your Barbie socks. And life is like a gamble as you quit you lose your hand. I say, better smell the roses, call the reaper, never laugh. Make one love be the guidance of the season where you plant. Two choices in a baddest, tell me now which one you want. 35 to life are board box. True crime and violence. It's like them youth are mindless now. Come on, go on and get tougher than steel, but the real gangsters move in silence, yeah. With a positive ferment, cool yet can be a burning furnace, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Make love be the honor of the day to mitigate against crime and violence, yeah. Hey. Eradicate it now, oh, yeah. We got to get rid of it somehow. Cause right at this very moment, the youth them getting colder. War a chuckle and a tree that bubble like cream soda. Guns and ammunition load and ready for the shoulder. Ain't nowhere to run, I say there ain't nowhere to go now. Terrorizing every street and lane that we grown up. Tell the government themselves also can't stop crime and violence, y'all. Because them youth are mindless, yeah. Come on, go on like it tougher than steel, but the real gangsters move in silence, yeah. With a positive ferment,
oh, yeah.
Cool yet can be a burning furnace, yeah. Oh, yeah. Make love be the order of the day to mitigate against crime and violence, yeah.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Tone and Tenor Show by Partisan Voices of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson. Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call in, join the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. On X, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. On Facebook, just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. You know, we just heard a song by DeGil called Crime and Violence. Our topic today is public safety more than gun violence. As you all across our nation and in our cities and our states, the primary thing that's talked about when we talk about public safety is gun violence. But public safety is just more. It's more than gun violence, people. You know, there are other things that are going on out here in the world that we are not seeing. We are not hearing. You know, we are looking at the violence that is going on that is not just guns. It's not just with guns. It's theft. It's breaking and entering. It's rape. It's burglaries. You know, these things you don't hear about. You know why you don't hear about it? Because you don't, there's nothing that generates money. They can't create a a organization to generate money so that they could, quote unquote, solve the problem. Well, folks, how well are our governments doing in solving gun violence problems? How well is our gun, are we doing solving murders? You know, yes, the numbers are down. Yes, the numbers are down. But people don't care about the overall numbers. And listen to me when I say that. Folks don't care. You know, the DA can stand up here in Philadelphia and say, oh, look at the statistics, look at the numbers. We don't care about the numbers as a whole. We care about the numbers in our neighborhoods. We care about what's going on in our neighborhoods. We care about the crime. We care about the breaking and entering. We care about those things. We care about the car thefts. Though you could say certain things are down, other things are up. Other things are up. And yet and still, when these people are caught, they're back on the streets in less than 24 hours. And we're going to talk about why they're back on the streets, because it has to do with the policies that are in place that allow these folks to be back on the streets. I don't care. You could commit one crime, but then you turn around less than 24 hours later, they're back on the street. And some of these folks, as in the case of what I'm going to talk about later, terrorized the neighborhood. Terrorized the neighborhood. But what is the definition of public safety in government? Public safety refers to the well-being and protection of everyone in the community. Let me say this again. Public safety refers to the well-being and protection of everyone in the community. It is the responsibility of the government to ensure that people are safe from harm and danger. This includes things like preventing crime, responding to emergencies, and making sure buildings and roads are safe of use. So when we talk about public safety, it's not just gun violence. This last piece, making sure that buildings and roads are safe for use. How many unsafe buildings are in the city of Philadelphia? How many roads are unsafe in the city of Philadelphia? The infrastructure. You know, all this money that comes in for infrastructure, but it's supposed to be creating, first we have to take care of the safety issues. Remember, a lot of houses in Philadelphia were built in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Where I live, the houses were built in 1925. So when you think, I'd rather have a house built in 1925 than a house built today in 2024, look at what the tornadoes are doing across this country to these stick buildings and houses. That's infrastructure. Are these buildings safe? Let's talk about public safety. They're building houses today without firewalls. Why? Because it's cheaper. But the prices are higher. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about why this not being addressed. It's not being addressed because it's not money generating for those. It's not money generating. You know, back in middle of April, I had to call the police to my house. Somebody tried to break into my house, middle of the day, had a ninja mask on, had his bag with his tools, but he left the bag on the lower steps. Luckily, someone was home. They called the cops. When I got to the house, he had walked away. But as I pulled my cameras up, the gentleman that tried to do this had the bag that was very distinctive walked right by me and a police officer. But I didn't know it was him because I didn't have the picture up in time on my phone. So when you look at this, and he walked away, came back, going into trying to get into people's houses, stole a phone, following delivery people, stole a phone, went up on 52nd Street. You know, the 52nd Street that Councilwoman, Councilmember Gutierrez calls the business district, and tried to sell this person's phone. But he had been continuing to break into houses, trying to break into cars. But he got caught finally on 52nd Street because of the diligence of the person following him to the store where he tried to sell the phone that he took off the person's porch. But all along, this gentleman was still coming back and forth. He normally would have dressed in all black, had a ninja mask on, and then he changed up from the ninja mask to the surgical mask in all black, to the point where I had to confront him in our driveway, where he was doing whatever kind of drugs he was doing behind a car, and he threw his bag of tools under this car. And when I saw the bag, I noticed it was the same bag that he used when he came to try to get in my house, and I gave him an ultimatum. But ladies and gentlemen, had I put my hands on that gentleman, I would be in jail, according to what the policies are under DA Larry Krasner. This gentleman could get picked up, locked up, and in less than 24 hours, he's back on the street doing the same damn thing that he was doing for almost a month. When we saw him again, he had a bag, a super fresh grocer's bag, with packages in it that he had stolen. He went down the street, went up between two houses, did whatever he was doing. In the process, I called the police. Police came, gentleman comes out, but wait a minute now, story gets better. He leaves the bag of packages behind the fence. I told the police officer that the packages or the bag was back there. He needs to go back there. Unfortunately, the police officer didn't go back there. He came out, walked down the street. About 45 minutes later, because I did tell the police officer, I said, look, he'll be back because he left the bag. But he would not go and go see whether it was back there. 45 minutes later, he changed up a little bit. Check this out, people. He puts on one of those reflective vests like he's coming from work with his mask on and all black, goes down the street, goes between the two houses, grabs his bag. In the meantime, I made another phone call to the police. Police come. He eluded them again. It wasn't until the next morning he got caught again. He got caught again trying to break in somebody's house after doing some lewd behaviors behind the lady's house. He got caught again, and I told the police officer, because she was there, and I asked her, I said, what can we do to keep this guy off the street, or what can be done? And they said, we're working on that. We're working on that. We're working on that. Now that they knew who he was, I had clear pictures of the gentleman. I knew what he was doing. Young guy. But he continued to do this either to feed a habit, but this is crime. This is crime. This is what people care about in their neighborhoods. We don't care about the numbers that are for the city that's going down. We care about those individuals that's terrorizing a neighborhood of elderly people and working people. to get them off the street. You could take folks that have been felons, have been in jail, and give them jobs in your office. Nice jobs. You could give these folks that create gun violence organizations money to keep that process going. But you're not looking at the overall things of the individuals that are terrorizing the neighborhoods through crime. You're not doing it. The police can lock them up, but if the prosecutors don't prosecute or say we don't have enough jail space, we've got to let the people out. You know, Philadelphia has a lot of crime going on, but you don't hear about it. But in the neighborhoods, the people in their neighborhoods understand the crime that is going on. You know, it's really crazy. You know, the policies of Philadelphia, the DA's new policies some of them came effective just before the pandemic. The policies, this is what dated 2/15/2018. This is the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office, new policies. These policies are an effort to end mass incarceration and bring balance back to sentencing. All policies are presumptive, not mandatory requirements. See, the key word there is presumptive, not mandatory. Where extraordinary circumstances suggest that exception is appropriate, specific supervisory approval must be obtained. Wherever the term supervisory approval is used, it means that an assistant district attorney must obtain approval of the unit supervisor. So this gentleman that was terrorizing the neighborhood, they could have probably done something about it before now. The supervisor must then obtain approval from the district attorney or, in his absence, the approval of the first assistant. Bonafide verbal approvals and disapprovals are sufficient and must be noted in the case file, including the date of the approval, identity of requested assistant DA attorney, and the supervisor who obtained the approval. So we got to go through a bunch of bureaucratic BS to get somebody locked up. But if you shot somebody or stabbed somebody, that individual is going to get locked up. He or she may not get out of jail, especially if it was on a Friday, because he got to sit there for at least 2 days for the weekend. So they can decline certain charges. Listen to this. Do not charge possession of marijuana regardless of weight. Do not charge any of the offenses relating to paraphernalia and buying from a person where the drug involved is marijuana. So you can do open-air drug dealings almost. Do not charge prostitution cases against sex workers where a person who has been arrested has 2, 1, or no prostitution convictions. Withdraw all pending cases in these categories that will be declined for charging under this policy. So, again, we're talking about another crime, right? But we have a driveway, and we have folks that come up and use our driveway. We call it Irving Street Hotel. They come up at night, use our driveway. Why? Because they know there's nothing going to be done. They know it. Individuals, so you have to have more than, listen to this. Individuals who have 3 or more prostitution convictions will be charged with prostitution and immediately referred to Dawn Court. Well, you got to have 3 or more, but you got to get caught in that. So your hands are tied. Charge lower graduations for certain offenses. Rationale. Summary graduation greatly reduces pretrial incarceration rates as no bail is required and the shorter time required for hearings expedite municipal court and common pleas court dockets. So this is all about expediting things, but you're going to still let the person out. We're going to continue this and bring some insight to what's going on, especially here in Philadelphia in the DA's office. You're listening to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5. Our topic today is public safety, more than gun violence. Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5. Our topic today is public safety more than gun violence. You know, that was the theme. Most people would know that's the theme from Law and Order. What we need today is law and order. We need justice and not just us. We need to have our neighborhoods taken back. Not just by from gun violence, but from overall crimes, burglary, car theft, you know, all of these things. You know, these are things that we don't talk about. This is what we're not talking about, because nobody can't create an organization where they can get that money from the city, from the state, from the federal government, from the prosecuting offices, to say we can eradicate gun violence. But how do you eradicate the fighting of students coming home from school? How do you eradicate the over and over and over again of the inconvenience that people have to face for car theft or the violation of someone coming into your home and breaking into your home, the violation of rape, the violation of all the other burglaries that go on. You know, public safety is not just gun violence. Your job is to protect the neighborhoods, to protect the people in those neighborhoods, not just a few people. Not just the haves, but everyone in the neighborhood. You know, you can move when the governor of the state of Pennsylvania says Penn has to do something about peaceful protesting. You know, if criminals could have took over West Philadelphia, because if you look at the amount of cops that were down at the University of Pennsylvania, you know, because of what's going on in Gaza and Israel. You know, this is just my opinion. This is not Beasley's opinion. It's not Tony Tenner's opinion. But it's time that the violence stops between Hamas and Israel. The people that you are protesting all across this country are the individuals that the geriatric generation running for president has to recruit. And those folks that want to be is sitting in these other governmental offices. They want their voices heard. You know, this is where we are talking about our neighborhoods. The people want their voices heard, not those dark money organizations that are funding your campaigns. Let's go back to talk about, you know, what we're talking about. Retail theft. Charge and dispose of retail theft cases as summary offenses unless the value of the items or items stolen in a particular case exceeds $500 or where the defendant has a very long history of theft and retail theft convictions. Right here in the city of Philadelphia, a security guard was doing his job in Macy's, which was the old John Wanamaker's, saw the guy stealing. He lost his life. You know, so when you think about it, $500, this is what they want to talk about, $500. Two, you must seek supervisory approval to charge and dispose of retail theft cases as misdemeanor or felony levels. So that means I could continue to steal or break in, and if they can't, who's to say how much the items are? If I get locked up and I've got four items, who is now going to say these items are worth more than $500? Or they have to run the person's name, if he gives the right name and information, and see if he's a repeat offender. But even in the case that I described for you, in my neighborhood, this gentleman was a repeat offender, but he continued to walk the streets. Something's wrong with that picture. Most cell phones today are more than $500. Why was he on the street? I'm reading the law. I'm reading what's coming out of DA's office. And it says, remember that a summary conviction permits a sentence of 90 days incarceration and fines up to $250 and full restitution. Well, if I'm breaking and entering and I'm stealing things, first of all, I'm stealing things to get some money. I mean, let's think about this logically. I'm stealing things to get money. So you're going to fine me. You're going to lock me up for 90 days. You're going to give me three meals, a cot, shower, possibly medical. Okay, I'll go there. And fines. Okay, where am I going to get $250 from? Where am I going to get the restitution? All of these folks that have been awarded restitution from these breaking and entering. Tell me the statistics, Mr. DA. You want to talk statistics and data? Show me the data on how much money or how much was reimbursed to these people for their losses. In all cases, seek full restitution. All cases, seek full restitution. Yeah, these are crazy. You know, they even got the plea officers. Make plea offers below the bottom of the mitigated range of the PA sentencing guidelines for most crimes. Yeah, sentencing is sentenced. State on record benefits cost. You know, why are we worrying about, you know, it costs you $42,000 a year to incarcerate one person. That's what it costs. But we got to do something to eradicate or change the mindset of folks so they don't commit these crimes. But there's no talk about that. And until we we talk about that, you know, we're going to have these folks walking the streets, because no way in hell can we spend $42,000 to $60,000 a year on a person to be incarcerated. Philadelphia prison system is $60,000. And they don't have enough beds, don't have enough places. But here's a suggestion. I hope my listening audience, and I hope somebody's out there, public safety. We have a school out in Eastwick called Pepper. Been closed forever. Why not convert that into a holding cell? You can go and convert the nursing home on Girard Avenue for the mayor's initiative to clean up Kensington Avenue without anybody knowing into a place where you're going to take folks to get help, or wellness center, quote unquote, as they call it. But the council member whose district that's in knew nothing about it. See, we lack in our governments, we lack communication. We don't want to communicate. We don't want to be wrong. We don't want to sit down and have that hard conversation. We rather avoid the hard conversation and go to the safe haven if you're in government. It's prime example. Again, I'm talking about, I know the 3rd District. I know West Philly. I'm born and raised. No, I'm not Will Smith, but I live in West Philly all my life. I'm not someone that came from Lansdowne. I'm not someone that came from out of the city. I was born in the neighborhood from which I live all of my life. I know the changes of the neighborhood. I'm not a wet behind the ear council person that doesn't know what's going on. I don't seek safe havens. But where are you? Why aren't these folks that create the laws that are supposed to be enforced by the prosecutors, whether it be state legislator or whether it be federal or whether it be local, why aren't you walking the streets of these communities? Why aren't you looking at what's going on the corners? We have no loitering laws. It's our right to pass a bunch of laws, but if they're not enforced, or they do not go all the way through the process and with a conviction at hand, then we have wasted. You waste more money by creating these laws just so you can say you did something, so you can receive your raise that you grant yourself in the following session, the next session. I've said this before, and I will continue to say it until folks start hearing that we have to take back our cities. And we have to do it at the voting booth. You know, we have to look at the young people that are now have said we had enough. You know, they're not going to want a seat at the table anymore. They're going to build a table and bring it into your office. And they're going to give you a seat at their table. So be mindful of what's going on around you. You know, the old saying, snitches get stitches and all of that. There are so many ways that a person could be anonymous and let folks know. But see, folks don't trust our systems. Folks don't trust our government because they have seen so many bad things happen. They have seen so much corruption. They have seen elected officials skirt jail. They've seen elected officials go to jail. They've seen them come out of jail and be buddy-buddy with everyone and have all of these jobs and have all of these organizations and ground banking ceremonies. And you got people placating to them. Oh, good to be back. Good this, good that. If somebody stole my house, I wouldn't have them in the prosecutor's office. But there's a difference. That's the difference between being a prosecutor and a defense attorney, which there in the city of Philadelphia, there's a shortage. And think about it, ladies and gentlemen. A defense attorney is there to defend their client, to get them the best deal to either for incarceration or to get them off. It is the prosecutor's job to make sure the charges stick and the law is followed, the letter of the law. That's simple. But crime, you know the saying used to say, crime doesn't pay? Well, this is 2024. And crime does pay. Crime does pay. It pays through grants. It pays through these organizations that pop up that claim they have solutions. But if we really, really wanted to solve these problems with all the ideas and all the brilliant people, all the Pew Charitable Trust, the University of Penn Research, all the major organizations across the country and the research that's being done, and all of these brainiacs, it could be solved. But then if they solve it, there's no money in the solution. Pat says this all the time. There's no money in the solution. The money's in the crime. But it depends on what the crime is. Gun violence. Now from gun violence, we go from gun violence to trauma because people are now traumatized because somebody got killed. So we creating all these trauma centers. Public safety. We've got homeless people living on the streets. We have needles being thrown in the street. Little children walking up and down the street, even on the L platform scepter. And anybody want to argue with me? I got the pictures to show you. A little kid can go up, pick that needle up, and jam it into them. You don't know what's wrong with that. But because of lackadaisical laws or lackadaisical law enforcement, they don't do what they're supposed to do. Yeah, we're talking about public safety. We're talking about the ability to drive down the street and not worrying about your car, your tires being blown out because of lackadaisical and bad work being done on the street. Think about it. You blow out a tire because the streets have not been improved. You could become in an accident. That's a safety hazard. These cars that are riding around the street with no lights, bumpers hanging off and all of that, you used to be able to, if you drove a car like that, you got stopped, you lost the car. Because that's a safety hazard. And when these hazards, especially in the vehicle world, because of these hazards and the way folks are driving, those that have legitimate registered cars with insurance have to bear the brunt of the problem. Meaning, increase in your insurance. Think about it, people. Think about it. Who suffers? Who suffers when it comes to public safety? We're not even going to talk about health issues. and the environment, because that's another safety issue. That's another safety issue. These are all of things, emergency. You know, when the emergency truck comes to your house, you have to pay. You get a bill here in the city of Philadelphia if they have to take you to the hospital. Fire is a safety issue. Home inspections is a safety issue. But yet and still, the city of Philadelphia keeps saying, we don't have enough inspectors. We don't have enough this. We don't have enough that. Selling alcohol out of these corner stop and goes is a safety issue. Allowing folks to hang out into those places is a safety issue. You got 12 people hanging in a place, and they got a fifth of gin sitting up there, and they selling you liquor by a drink, liquor by the shot glass. Nobody's saying anything because it's not in the affluent neighborhoods. But yet and still, you talk about what you want to do for your community and for your neighborhoods, but yet and still, you don't come on 52nd Street. You stay in Clark Park. Or you put an office in Safe Haven. You don't do anything about 52nd and Spruce. You go over on the other side. You don't do anything about 52nd and Westminster. You know, you don't. Trash is a safety issue. Trash breeds germs. Trash breeds rodents. And it's getting hot, people. And it's trash. And granted, it's not the normal person that's doing it. But as we ride around our city, all the construction that is going on, these folks that are doing a demolition are dumping the debris in our parks, on streets that are not well lit. But I can guarantee that these folks are being paid by somebody to get rid of that debris. But why take it to and do it legally when I can dump it illegally and nobody finds out about it? How do you solve that problem? Very simple. Blind man can solve this problem. When you get a permit for demolition, the permit states who's going to do the demolition. The permit also states where and who's doing the demolition and where it's going to be dumped at. That's simple. And then you can follow up because they have to have a receipt for dumping. With that said, we're going to take our second and final break and listen to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2. Welcome back to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2. Public safety, more than gun violence. You know, this is really an interesting topic, and you can take this all kinds of ways. You know, you listen to Law and Order, the Law and Order theme. In the beginning, we heard Dan Geo, Crime and Violence. And then we hear the theme from SWAT. You know, two out of three are shows that come on TV. But, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, that's not real life. You know, evidently, when you think about it, somebody wrote the scripts for these shows. And, you know, if you took some of that, even though it's not real, and applied it to everyday life, you probably could find some solutions. But, you know, a lot of people aren't about finding solutions. They're about, because if they find a solution, then their income dries up. You know, their income dries up. But we need to begin to look at what goes on in our neighborhoods, and we got to hold our elected officials accountable, whether it be our boroughs, our townships, our cities, our states, or on our federal level. Because we need to understand that public safety even has to deal with what's going on in the Midwest, in Texas, with the hurricanes, the destruction and the disaster. That affects the safety and the lives of the public. And somebody should be saying, what can we do better? How can we do better? What is the ultimate end game? You know, I always say that if they fix the streets right the first time, then people will be out of a job. But if you fix the streets right the first time and coordinate with the folks, then you can move on to do more jobs. I mean, I just don't get it. I'm trying to figure this out. And, you know, what is public safety? You know, public safety is not just gun violence. It's not. But we have to address the issues at hand. And we're not going to solve them all in a course of a state legislator, representative's 2 years term. We're not going to solve it in the 6 year term of a state senator or a federal senator, or in the case of a U.S. rep, 2 years. We're not going to solve it in 4 years under president, or 8 years if they are elected again. We're not going to solve that. But we've got to begin to actually attacking the problem and the root of the problems. Because if you don't attack the root of the problems, we're going to continue to have the problems. But we're only going to, if you notice, we're only going to fund the problems where they can't get real solutions. Or they want solutions, or they keep talking about them. And there is no real solution on the table. Every year we have the same thing. You know, we did a show one time, Education and Misinformation. Everybody says that it starts with education. But if we don't have the tools in the schools, and the schools are not sick buildings, we can't start with education. We've got to have the tools. The teachers have to have the tools to teach with. The buildings have to be conducive to a place for children to learn. And then you also have to have the home life. There has to be an integral part taken in by the parents and guardians, whomever. But we can't. This is an all-hands-on-deck solution, and it can't be just one or two people. You know, last year, let's talk about it. You know, giving Mr. Krasner his due for what he was talking about, you know, check the numbers. Okay, murders in 2024 are down from 2023 at this time to by 35%. All right, okay, we'll give you that. But let's look at citywide numbers, though. And the violent crimes, you know, the violent crimes are week 9 and week 10, according to the incident section. There's a total of, now this is the wrong map. This is 2023. But the crime rate, you know, you have to look at these things and really, really understand what's going on. You know, the statistics are there according to, you know, to the DA. Yes, the numbers, and everybody says look at the statistics. But the statistics do not reflect the individual neighborhood that you may be concerned about or I'm concerned about. And this is what we need to really begin to look at. We don't need to look at what the numbers are. We need to look at what's benefiting our city. How is that benefiting our city? And what's going on in our city that we need to understand? You know, just in week one, you know, this out there, you can look at the 2024 crime statistics in the city for the Philadelphia Police Department. This is what DA Larry Krasner was referring to last Friday. Oh, the city, it's out there. It's out there. Yes, it's out there, but you have to, if you don't know where to get the information from, then you have a problem. You know, we here at Tony Tenor know where to find the information. We can make phone calls. You know, we can look at things differently. But we're in the 18th week of, according to the 18th week of 2024, which ended last on 5/5. You know, homicides during the last 28-day period was 13. You know, total homicides on as a 5/5 was 81 compared to 2023 at this time. Rates 215 down from to 172. Gun robberies. Now, we all know this number ain't right. We all know this ain't right. So you're going to tell me there's a difference of 320 gun robberies, same period last year. We're down from 861. We're also down from other robberies, which was 824 this year to 907 last year. But then they kind of break this stuff up. Aggravated assault gun, aggravated assault other. Somebody has to define other. Burglary residential, they're claiming that's down. That's down about 43. Burglary commercial is up 19. Theft of a motor vehicle tag, that's almost running the same. 911, people stealing your tag. Theft from person, 102. Theft from auto, 3,402. Theft, I don't know what that means. 4,556, down 11%. Stolen autos, down 39%. But yet and still, every time we turn on the TV, we hear about all these crimes. Something's wrong with that picture. Something's skewed in these numbers. You know, with time left, we're going to say this to everyone and to our listeners. You know, used to be a saying, crime doesn't pay. But to some people, crime pays with jobs. Crime pays with money. And crime pays from avoiding this system. We have to look at public safety. It's more than just gun violence. Want to thank our engineer today, Sam, and TJ, who split the duties. We hope to hear from you next week here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5. Listeners, just follow us on social media. On X, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/ToneTenor. I'm Randall Jefferson, and thank you for listening. Crime does pay for some.
Now the sweet bells of mercy.